Shavuot Tov. Hope everyone had a meaningful, powerful Shavuos. So we're on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, if you recall. And on Wednesday we studied the sugya at the beginning of the Daf. And that's the sugya of Osek B'mitzvah, Potter B'mitzvah. We didn't necessarily complete it, but for the time being we'll move a little bit further in the sugya. And if you count down 18 lines from the top of the page, then you'll get to the sugya of Avel. And that's what I want to learn today, a little bit about Avelus. Of course, Avelus is a very, very complicated and broad sugya. And the Rambam has codified the laws of Avelus, of all places, kind of a surprise, in the last book of the 14 books of the Mishneh Torah, namely Shoftim. And the reason for that has to do with what's called Harugei Malchus, and the question of Avelus and Harugei Malchus, and that touches on the responsibility of Bezdin, and all the responsibilities of Bezdin the Rambam integrates into the laws of Shoftim. In any event, what's relevant to us here is the following statement in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav. Avel chayav b'chol mitzvos hamuros b'Torah chutz min hatfilin. And the Gemara is going to go on to say that although, as a general rule, if a person is tarud, he is potur min hamitzvah. He doesn't have to pick up another mitzvah. But if he's tarud machmas rishus, not machmas mitzvah, for example, tovas vinosa bayam, he suffered of a crash in the market and his financial loss, even though he's tarud, nevertheless he has to overcome that tirda and he has to perform mitzvahs. And Avil is likewise tarud, but nevertheless he has to overcome that tirda and he has to perform all the mitzvahs of Torah with the exception of one, as we'll soon see. Although one could ostensibly differentiate between Tovas Finoso Bayam in the case of an Avel, in the first case his Tirda is not Machmas Mitzvah, in the second case his Tirda is part of the Mitzvah of Avel, but Rashi says in Masechta Sukkah that an Avel is not Chayav in Tirda, and the Tirda of an Avel is not part of the Mitzvah of Avelus. What that means, frankly, I don't know, because Lechora Avelus is an experience in the lave, in the heart of a person, but apparently there's a difference between Avelus belave and tirda. But be that as it may, what's the exception to the rule? What mitzvah is suspended with regard to an Avel? That's the mitzvah of tefillin. Chutz min hatfillin. Sharei nemar behen pi'er, shenemar pi'ercha chavush olecha. As Yecheskel is commanded to suspend his avelus, and therefore he is commanded to wear pe'er, which is tefillin. Anyone else who is an avel, Rachman al-Tzayin, he himself is pe'ercha lo tichbo shalecha. He is enjoined from wearing a tefillin. Now, what I found is that there's something odd in the way the Rambam brings down these halachas. So if you take a look at your page of Mara Makomos, there are two Rambams that I wanted to study with you and compare and contrast them. The first Rambam is in Perek Dalid Mihilchas Avelus. And there the Rambam points out that there's something called Aninus, which is after the Misa of one of his Krovim, and there the Onein is completely alleviated from all mitzvos. But in the case of post-Kvura, which means that Aninus has shifted now into Avelus, the Avel is Chayev in all mitzvos. So that's after Kvura. So before Kvura, he is, shall we say, alleviated from mitzvahs, maybe even he is prohibited from performing mitzvahs, he's involved in Misa, in Kvura, but after Kvura, which is called Stima Sagolel, that point the transition is made from Aninus to Avelus. The Rambam says, however, Ha'avil, this is the last halach in Perek Dalid, B'yom HaRishon Bilvad, Asur Laniach Tfilin. The Rambam says that there is an Iser Hanochas Tefillin on the first day and only on the first day of Avelus. Now, if we compare that to the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Hey, the Rambam enumerates a list of Dvarim Sha'avel Osur Behen, and the Rambam says that this list includes 11 different Isurim, and we'll read them very quickly. But the Rambam says that you should know that although there are 11 Isurei Avel, there's a distinction between the first day of Avelus and the balance of Avelus, the Shar Shivas Yimei Avel. Whereas the first day of Avelus is Da'oraisa, the second, third, and fourth, well, all the way to the seventh, those are Yimei Avel Midivreim. They're only Midrabanan. But be that as it may, whether we're dealing with Avelus Min HaTorah or Avelus Midivreihem, we are talking about Isurei Ovel that apply to the Ovel all 7 days. And the Rambam has the list. He counts up 11 different Isurei. And many of them are very familiar to us, and many of them extend even beyond the 7 days, all 30 days of Avelus, Shloshim of Avelus. For example, the Rambam has at the top of the list the Isur Tispores, the Isur Kibus. Those two Isurim apply for 30 days. Then he goes on to the Isurim, which apply only during the 7 days, Rechitza, Sikha, Tashmish Shamita, Neilas HaSandal, Asiyas Molocha, Kriyas HaTorah. And then the Rambam requires Zekifas Hamita, which means that the Ovel is not allowed to sleep in a regular bed. He has to somehow change the tzura of his Mita. And he's chayev in what's called Priyas Rosh, which is also related to what's called Atifas HaRosh. He's Asur in Sheila Shalom. And the whole list, says the Rambam, includes 11 different Isurim. And L'chora Rabosai, if the Rambam is counting numbers here, his count should be accurate. For example, if the Rambam counts 39 Malachas in Shabbos, there's no 40th Malacha. And that's what it means to count. And if the Rambam counts 39 Malkas in Hilchas Malkas, then there's no 40th Malka. And therefore, if the Rambam counts 11 Isurei Avel, it means 11 and not 12. Why do I ask that question? Yeah, because the Rambam at the very end of Hilchas, of Perek Dalet Hilchas Avel, Mamish, the previous halacha, has a very, shall we say, a very profound and obvious Isur, and that applies on the first day at least, and that is the Isur of Hanochas Tefillin. And lest one would answer that Hanochas Tefillin is not counted here in Perek Hey because it's only Noeg on the first day of Avelus, that's not true. Because the Rambam himself says, Elu Dvarim Sha'avel Asur Behem V'yom Rishon Min HaTorah. So in other words, Elu Dvarim, the Rambam in his list, is going to incorporate all those Isurim that are Noeg V'yom Rishon Min HaTorah. And Tefillin, Lechora, is the obvious one. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy to answer this question. The Rambam is always very meticulous, and this is a case in which it jumps out at you so obviously that the Rambam seems to have kaviyochel messed up over here to go from one halacha to the very next halacha, you know, as if to say he fell asleep between the end of Perek Dalet and he woke up the next morning, wrote Perek Hey, and he forgot what he did the last night. I mean, this is ridiculous. What do we do with such a Rambam? And again, as I've told you before, I don't have a simple answer to this question.
What's the point of a count of anybody? What does that help us? What does that add?
The Rambam wants to tell you that as opposed to different mitzvos, which he's going to have. For example, he counts at the beginning. Let's go back to the very beginning of Hilchas Avel. The Rambam says that mitzvos aseh l'hisavel al akrovim. It's very fascinating. We think that Avelus, and that's the impression you get from Perek Hey, constitutes a los aseh. In fact, 11 different isurim, or maybe even 12, but no chiyuvim and no mitzvos. And yet, the Rambam opens up Hilchus Avel by telling us that Avelus is a mitzvah. And in fact, when he codifies the mitzvahs asay that are included in Hilchus Avel, the first of the four mitzvahs that he has, he's got one mitzvah sase and three mitzvahs lo sase, and basically the mitzvahs lo sase apply to Kohanim, but with regard to the mitzvah sase, which is the only single mitzvah sase in Hilchus Avel, he's got list abel al krovim. So in the Rambam now, five prakim later, tells you that Avelus has a second side to it. In other words, it's a coin that has one side of the coin is a mitzvah sase'lis avel, and we don't know exactly what that means. The Rambam tells you, it doesn't tell you exactly how to fulfill this avelus, and as a kirum of a mitzvah say. And then Perek Hei tells me that avelus is nothing more than isurim. And in fact, how many isurim constitute avelus? 11. And when I go back to Perek Hey, Perek Aleph, and I ask myself, so how do I fulfill the mitzvah seilis avil? What's the answer to that question? By refraining from the 11 isurim. In other words, the Rambam is basically telling you that avilus as a kium essay is a matrix. I mean to say, it's a complete amalgam, and you have to sew together 11 different pieces in order to end up with the beged, you know, with the cloth. The cloth of Avelus, which is a mitzvah seilis abel, has to be fulfilled by abstaining from 11 different isurim. And the Rambam's number of 11, I think, is very significant, because the Rambam is telling you, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Avelus? And the answer is that the mitzvah of Avelus requires these Yud Aleph Isurei Avel. What I mean to say, therefore, is that let's say, in a case of a Plodi Almoni, this individual would abstain from 10 out of 11 of the Isurei Avel. On the one hand, he's only violated one Isur of Avelus, but on the other hand, he's undermined the Mitzvah Seilis Avel, because the Mitzvah Seilis Avel is made up of a complex of 11 different Isurim. It's only when he covers all these 11 different Isurim can he claim and wave the flag of, I have fulfilled a Mitzvah Seilis Avel. Okay, let's just put this question on the side. And I want to raise with you another question which is very interesting, and it comes up in Hilchus Avelus almost three times a year, or at least twice a year, I should say. And that is Chol HaMoed. What's the status in general of Avelus on a Moed, and specifically Avelus on Chol HaMoed? We know that Avelus and Moed are contradictory, are what we call mutually exclusive. It's a tarti desastre. The Torah commands us on a moed in the mitzvah of simcha v'samachta b'chagecha, whereas avelus is the antithesis of simcha. That's as far as regel is concerned. And therefore, let's say, for example, a person buries one of his krovim before the regel. What halacha now kicks in? Bittel. What does bittel mean? The regel is mevatel avelus. You started avelus even a half hour before tzeisa kochavim, or before shkiyas achama on erev yontif. Yontif comes and it completely undermines shiva. There's no shiva whatsoever. It's not like you postpone shiva until after the yontif. There is no shiva. So, for example, I remember the case of a student of mine. His father passed away in Los Angeles on a Thursday, and we were at the Beit Shemesh Cemetery, and the word was that his body was coming for burial at 4 p.m., meaning that the plane was supposed to land in Ben Gurion, I think it was at 2:30 or 3, and they were going to do a rush job so that we can bury him before Yontif. Shkia at that time, it was Erev Sukkos, was about 5:25 in Yerushalayim. And we're in Beit Shemesh, it's already 4 o'clock, and where's the Chevra Kadisha? To tell you a long story short, we actually buried, his name was Khan, Henry Khan from Los Angeles. We actually buried him at 5 p.m. And immediately David, his son, sat down and got up. I mean, it was just pashut. He sat and then he stood up. And we rushed to get back to Yerushalayim for Shkia at 5:25. I mean, it was the wildest scene that we ever had. And I went to visit David during Chol HaMoed Sukkos at that time. And the question is, was that just a visit of a Rebbe to a Talmud, or was it Nichum Avelu? And truth be told, that since we buried Henry Kahn an hour before Shkia, or less than an hour before Shkia, I should say about 25 minutes before Shkia, and David sat Shiva for about a second, he is no longer an Avel. So it was a very nice thing to visit him, so to speak. I remember seeing his mother, Nellie, she should be well. But that's not called Nichum Avelu because he's not an Avel. That's called Shiva, that's called Regel, or Moed is Mevatel Shiva. However, if Kavar Meso Beregel, if the deceased was buried on the Regel itself, then the Halacha becomes more complicated. Why? Because Ein Avelus Beregel, but nevertheless, we suspend the Avelus until after Shiva. Exactly. After Yontif, I mean to say. When I said Shiva, I actually meant seven. I didn't mean Shiva of Avelus. I meant the number seven. I'll tell you why I mean the number seven. In Chutz La'aretz, you know there's Yontif Sheni Shel Golis. Today, for example, in Chutz La'aretz would be Yontif. In fact, we have one member of the Kol who's not here today because he's observing Yontif. For him, it's Yontif. And what happens in a case of Kover Es Meso Berego with regard to Shmini Shel Chag? Now, in the case of Shmini Atzeres, it's not so relevant because Shmini Atzeres is Doraisa. That's for everybody. However, let's take the case of Shmini Shel Pesach, for example. And we could talk about Simchas Torah as well. But in the case of Shmini Shel Pesach, which is only Yontif and Chutz La'aretz, the question is whether that day could be the first day of Shiva. And that's a gigantic machlokus, which is, right now, I don't think I can address that. But be that as it may, let's say today, if somebody would call Yontif Sheni Shel Golis a day of Havelus, it would be the first of Shiva, or alternatively, according to those Rishonim who say that you cannot count Yontif Sheni Shel Golis as part of Shiva, Shiva would begin tomorrow. Because he was not knowing Avelus before the Regel. Because there was no Avelus during the Regel itself. There was no Avelus before the Regel. And by the way, the case that we'll see in the poskim where there's no Avelus before the Regel doesn't mean necessarily that the person died on Yontif. It could be the person died in Erev Yontif, but there wasn't a possibility for Niyug Avelus to begin. And in such a case, Avelus is suspended till after Shiva. What I mean is after Yontif. Fine. So let's take a look at some of the Makoros that I have for you. We'll start with the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham wants to know, what's the status of Avelus Beregel, meaning on Chol HaMoed, in the case of someone who buried his relative during the Moed, meaning on Chol HaMoed. And specifically, he wants to know, what's the din of such a person as far as tefillin is concerned. And the Magen Avraham writes, this is in Siman Tov Kuf Mem Ches, which is Hilchos Chol HaMoed, at the end of Se'if Hey, that he says that Hatam di Ovel Osu B'Tfilin Mishum Shu Yomar the Ovel Mu'ulo B'Ofer Karno. An Ovel is enjoined from tefillin because for an Ovel, he's considered Me'ulol Bi'ofar. He's got ashes or dirt on his head, and he can't wear tefillin. That's called the Yomar. Says the Magen Avraham, Zelo Shayach B'Chol HaMoed. Why? The Eino Noeg Bo meaning on Chol HaMoed, Avelus. So let's understand the logical analysis of the Magen Avraham, and why the Magen Avraham concludes, again, for those who are knowing to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Again, our minhag here in Eretz Yisrael is that we don't wear tefillin, even you don't have to be an Avel to be part of the year. No one wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But in Chutz La'aretz, those who follow the Ramah, for example, will wear tefillin in Chol HaMoed. And the Magen Avraham comes to the logical conclusion that if he's buried his mess on Chol HaMoed, he will wear tefillin. He will wear tefillin. Why? So let's understand. The logic is very powerful. Premise number one is that an Ovel has to be Noeg Avelus. Premise number two is that when an Ovel has to be Noeg Avelus, he's Mu'ul Biafar. And premise number three is therefore he's also B'Tfilin. Premise number four is that there's no Avelus B'Regel, meaning B'Chol HaMoed. And therefore, there's no Ovel of Mu'ul Biafar, and therefore there's no exclusion of tefillin, and therefore he has to wear tefillin. I mean, again, I broke it down to a long syllogism, but it's really, you can simplify it in just three premises. Premise number one is that when there's Niyug Avelus, there's no tefillin. Premise number two is on Chol HaMoed, there's no Avelus. And premise number, and the conclusion number three is, therefore, an Avel would have a person who buried his dead on Chol HaMoed would wear tefillin. And that's the presentation of the Magen Avraham. Very powerful. But I'll tell you what confuses me. The premise of the Magen Avraham that Ein Avelus B'Regel is not so simple. It's not simple at all. Because the Mechaber, right here on the same page, in Tav Kuf Mem Ches Siv Dalet, writes the following. Zesh Amarnu Shakover meso beregel lo chala olav avelus hani mili dvorim shel farhesya avol dvorim shebitzina noheg. Wait a second. Now life gets complicated. Avelus is no longer one single mikshachas, but rather it's subdivided, broken down into two different dimensions, two categories. There's what's called Avelus b'farhesya, and there's something called Avelus b'dvarim shebitzina. Dvarim shebitzina basically means tashra shamita. Again, there's machlokas poskim, whether rechitza also comes on the dvarim shebitzina, but that's not for us. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, wait a minute, you think that ain't Avelus b'regel, and that's it? In other words, if you were writing or formulating the sentence in Halach, the principle of Halach, you would write, Ein Avelus B'Regel Klal. Says the Mechaber, that's wrong, that's incorrect. Boo boo, got the wrong answer. There is Avelus B'Regel. Ein Avelus B'Regel B'Med V'Amurim L'Gabi Avelus Shebit Farhesya. But as far as Avelus B'Tzin is concerned, there is in fact Avelus, and therefore an Avel is considered an Avel even during Chol HaMoed. Again, we're not talking about a case where he buried his dead before the regel, because then Shiva is completely batel. But we're talking about a case of Akover Meso Beregel. And in that context, the halacha is, says the Mechaber, there is Avelus, but only as far as Dvarim Shebitzin is concerned, not as far as Dvarim Shebifares. Now, why does this come to play? The question is, why does the Mechaber, or I don't want to blame it on the Mechaber, because the Mechaber is quoting Rishonim that came long before him, but what is the logical explanation for this distinction, which plays such an important role in Moed, between Avelus Shebefarhesya and Avelus Bitzina? Why should there be Avelus Bitzina on Regel? It's kind of like a Mimonafshah. But I'll tell you the truth, Rabosai, it's more than just a Mimonafshah. It's logically inconsistent with the whole structure of Avelus. I'll tell you why. Why is there no Avelus B'Regel? The Gemara analyzes this in a famous sugi here in Moed Katan on Daf Yudalit. The Gemara says the following. Why is there no Avelus on Regel? And the Gemara says, because Asi, let me read the Gemara to you. The Gemara says the following. Here it is. On Daf Yudalit Amid Beis. You remember the sugya?
Asi Simcha Darabim, the Dofa.
Yeah. Let's read the Gemara's language. Gemara says the following. Ovel eno noeg aveluso beregel, shenemar v'samachta v'chagecho. And the Gemara says the following, that with regard to a menuda, I'll explain to you what that means, mao sheyinog niduyo beregel, and the Gemara vacillates back and forth about whether a menuda is noeg niduyo beregel. So the Ritva here in Masechet Moed Katan explains what's going on. He says the following. All the laws of Avelus, all the Surei Avel, apply to a menuda. A menuda is a person who is put into Nidui. And the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Talmud Torah gives you a whole list of cases in which we put a person into Nidui. Many of them have to do with being Mevaza the Torah, or being Mevaza Talmud Chacham Barabim. And, you know, I don't know if we have time to learn the laws of Nidui, but in any event, when a person is put into Nidui, he's no Eg Avelus. Now, the Gemara says the following. There's no Avelus Beregel, but there might be Nidui Beregel. Aye, Nidui is identical with Avelus. So the Ritva explains that in the case of a Menuda, there's no Stira, there's no contradiction between his Avelus and the Avelus, and Regel, and V'samachta B'chagecha, meaning that I can reconcile, I can have my cake and eat it. I can have both V'samachta B'chagecha and Isurei Avel, which are noeg b'nidui. Why is there no contradiction? So the Ritva points out, because the Menuda is allowed to drink wine, and he's allowed to eat meat. And what is V'samachta B'chagecha? Ein simcha ela b'basur b'yayin. So who cares if he doesn't put his shoes on, etc., etc.? It doesn't say that on Yom Tov you have to wear shoes. I was walking on the Rakevet yesterday with my wife, and sure enough, there were a lot of people who were wearing sneakers. Maybe they didn't know it was Yom Tov, that's a different question. But it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch that you have to wear shoes on Yom Tov. But you have to drink wine, you have to eat meat. Says the Ritva, a menuda can drink wine and can eat meat. But the Ritva somehow doesn't add the following question. An Avel is also allowed to drink wine. An Avel is also allowed to eat meat. And yet the Gemara says that there's no Avelus beregel. In fact, you should know the Teimanim have a very fascinating minute during the Shivas Yimei Avelus. They bring to the Avelim wine to drink. And there are X number of kosos that they bring on the first day of Avelus, second day of Avelus, third day. It's a whole complicated minhag about the ascending order of kosos of yayin that they bring. And not only that, the Sudas Avra, which is the first meal that we feed the Avel, is a fleishik meal. So there's no Isa, the Avel is not enjoyed from eating meat. If the premise of the Ritva is that I can reconcile Nidui with Yantif, with Simchas HaRegel, because the Menuda is not enjoined from drinking wine or eating meat, why not apply the same logic to every Avel? Forget about a Menuda. An Avel is allowed to drink wine, he's allowed to eat meat. The answer, Abosai, is very poshut but very profound. There's one fundamental difference between an Avel and a Menuda. And that is with regard to Simcha. The mitzvah of Simcha is antithetical to the mitzvah of Avelus. A person who's an Avel is excluded from Simcha. And the Gemara posits the following question, well, which is greater, Simcha on Yontif or the Avelus? And the Gemara answers that Simcha is a Chovas Rabim, and Avelus is a Chovas Diyachin, and Asi Esei de Rabim, V'dochi Esei Diyachin. But at the end of the day, the Dechia here, the mutually exclusive Kiyumim here, is the Kiyum of Simcha and the Kiyum of Avelus. Those two cannot live simultaneously and tolerate each other. They're mutually exclusive. However, in the case of Menuda, even though a Menuda has to be noeg Isurei Avelus, and all the Isurim of Menuda are identical to that of an Avel, nevertheless he doesn't have a Kiyum of Avelus. He's not in the state of Avelus. And therefore, as long as he's allowed to drink wine and eat basa, which means he's allowed to achieve the mitzvah of simcha, he can do so on yantif, and therefore menuda can be knowing his nidui on yantif. And that's what the Ritva says, that doesn't apply to avelus. If an avel would be knowing his avelus on yantif, then what would happen is that he's undermining the mitzvah of simcha, because he has avelus, not just as what? As Isurim, but as we said at the outset, David, the 11 Isurim of an Avil are meant to bring him into a state of a mitzvah saseh, of fulfilling of his Avil al Krovov. That's exclusive, that's excluded by the mitzvah of Simcha. Is Rabosa, and I'll be with you, Michael, in just a minute. I just want to finish up my presentation here. If that be the case, then what I don't understand is how the Shulchan Aruch could paskin, and it's based on Rishon and the Ramban. How could there be Dvarim Shebitzina in the case of Regel? Regel is a mitzvah of Simcha. And please, let's put this down on the table for the record. The mitzvah of Esamachta v'chagecha is not limited to the first day of Yontif. It applies all 7 days. In fact, the Shalmei Chagiga and the Shalmei Simcha were brought for 7 days. And the mitzvah of Simcha means, and that's brought down in all the poskim, that we should eat at least one fleishik meal every day of Chol HaMoed in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Visamachta. The Gemara in Sukkah derives it from an extra drasha in the pasuk bechagecha kol yemei chagecha, meaning the entire chag. And that's, by the way, the reason why the Rishonim, who maintain that there's no tefillin on Chol HaMoed, it's largely because Chol HaMoed has the same status as Yontif. We discussed it once before, that Chol HaMoed is a moed, and it has all the mitzvahs of the moed, whether it be sukkah, whether it be lulav, whether it be matzah. According to the Gaon, there's a kiyum of matzah called shiv, but there's certainly an isra not to eat chametz, that for sure is an isra kares. All the laws of Yontif apply during the Moed, including Simchas Yontif. And therefore, my question to you is, you're telling me that Dvarim Shebitzina are noeg on the regel. Why is that so? And furthermore, how do we reconcile the Magen Avraham with this halacha? In other words, if the Magen Avraham would be correct that ein avelus beregel klal, then I would understand that the person who buried his dead on Chol HaMoed would definitely wear tefillin. But now that we see that the law is so much more complicated, and there is a vestige, a very palatable, you could sink your hands into avelus on the regel, because Dvarim Shebitzina on noeg, and the oval is enjoined from Dvarim Shebitzina. So then there is avelus beregel, and if there is avelus beregel, perhaps we should go one step further and say that the oval should be enjoined from wearing tefillin. And this is a whole mess. Nothing is clear, as we'd say, it's clear as mud. Michael, you're going to even add insult to injury and make it even more complicated.
What I don't understand is that how if eating meat and drinking wine is a sign of simcha,
right,
how is an avel allowed to eat meat and drink wine?
Because an avel is allowed to do certain actions which require simcha in a normal case of yantif, which he's enjoined, excuse me, because of he would be enjoined because of avelus, if not for the halacha of dechia. Why? Because if he were to drink wine on yantif, he would be doing so not because he's in the mood to drinking wine, but because the drinking wine is a conduit to bring him to this kiyum of what? Of simcha v'samachta v'chagecha. I'm not saying to you, Michael, that if we take out a bottle of wine, today is Isru Chag, so maybe you never know. Maybe there's a mix of simcha and Isru Chag. But I'm not saying to you that every time a person drinks wine and eats meat, he's in a state of simcha. That's called basar taiva. That's not called basar simcha. When does achilas basar engender simcha? When there's a kiyum simcha.
And that achilas basar really is replacement for what basar, Rabosai? For the carbon that was brought when the Mikdash stood. Today, what we do is we don't have the achilas basar kachim of the Shalmei Simcha, the Shalmei Chagiga. What we have is a far cry of facsimile, so to speak, of the achilas kachim. And we eat chulim, but that basar is kaviyachol a replacement for the basar kodesh, which they ate when they brought the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash.
How many days of avelos are we going to give this fellow? Kippur is first day chalamoid. You have 4 days chalamoid, 2 days of Yom Tov, then another 7 days of avelos. So we're going to give this guy 12 days of.
But you know where he'll, you know where it might cash in. It's going to cash in with regard to shloshim. Because since he was noeg dvarim shebitzina during the moed, that might reduce the number of days of shloshim.
So he'll have shiva.
But as far as shiva is concerned, right, he doesn't have a full fledged kiyum shiva until he starts shiva after yom. Right. Meaning, dvarim shebitzina is not enough to clinch a kiyum of shiva.
Right.
But nevertheless, somehow there's a vestige of avelus, which I'm trying to get a grasp on, that applies and exists even during the regel and expresses itself in the Issa Dvarim Shevitzin. If I could only get my handle on that, I might be able to explain what that means and how to reconcile that with Simcha, which, as we said, Simcha is antithetical to avelus, and yet he has avelus as far as Dvarim Shevitzin is concerned. What do you say?
How is Yom Tov different from Shabbos?
Because Shabbos is Ola
Lemin. I understand. It's Ola because Dvarim Shebitzin are Noeg. Apply.
I thought that by Yom Tov they're not Noeg B'chlal.
Right, no, they are Noeg. That's how we paskin. But the question as to why Yom Tov is Ola is not Ola L'Shiva. And okay, so excellent. So let's add that question to this whole mud, because I think that maybe we can answer that question if we sort of clarify anything. So let's review what the rabbi is asking. The halacha is that during every avelus has Shabbos in it, and during Shabbos there's no avelus b'farhesya, but there's dvarim shebitzin. Yet we find a paradoxical distinction between the Dvarim Shebitzina of Shabbos and the Dvarim Shebitzina of Regel. With regard to the Dvarim Shebitzina of Shabbos, Shabbos is Ola Laminyan Shiva, meaning that the Avel is Mekayim his mitzvah of Avelus on Shabbos through Dvarim Shebitzina, and therefore that day is integrated into the Malos, or the Minyan of Shiva. With regard to Yontif, even though the identical halach of Dvarim Shebitzina applies in the case of Regel, Kovar Atzma Regel, and he's enjoined from Dvarim Shebitzina as if it were the Shabbos of Shiva. Nevertheless, those days are not Ola Laminyan Shiva. What their status is as far as Shloshim is concerned, that requires a whole other study of what Shloshim is all about. But as far as the Ikar Avelus of Shiva is concerned, we do not incorporate or count the days of Regel into Shiva. Why not? So let's just review all our questions and see if we can make sense out of this. Question number one. The Gemara in Moed Katan postulates that there's no Avelus Beregel. And the reason for that is because of V'samachta B'chagecha. And yet, the Rishonim write that even though there's no Avelus Beregel, Dvarim Shebitzina Noegin Beregel. And although the days of Regel are not days of Isurei Avelus, as far as 10 out of the 11 are concerned, again, I'm leaving out Rechitza, that's a sugya to itself, but but nevertheless, as far as 1 out of the 11 is concerned, namely Dvarim Shebitzina, the days of Regel are Noeg Avelus, and yet, and now we get to our second question. So we don't know how to reconcile that with Simcha. And number two, our second question is, why is it that once he is Noeg Dvarim Shebitzina on Regel, he can't go the next step and count it as Yemei Shiva? Those are our first two questions. Question number three is, should there be an Iser of Tefillin on the Regel? The Magen Avraham claims that since there's no Avelus Beregel, therefore he has to wear tefillin. However, we're asking the flip side of the question, since there is Avelus beregel, as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, as far as Dvarim Shebitzin is concerned, then therefore, why not add to that the Iser of Hanochas Tefillin? Now, there are a few more things on Yomar Makomos that I wanted to add to our discussion. And the first one is a Tosfos in Moed Katan. Tosfos in Moed Katan, it's the first Tosfos on Daf Chav, Dibur Masel Shekvar, says that with regard to Avelus Beregel, again, we're talking about a person who buried his dead on the Regel, Tosfos says that we feed him a Sudas Havra on Chol HaMoed. If we had time, we'd go through the whole Tosfos. It's quite a complicated Tosfos, but the bottom line for our purpose is that Sudas Havra, which means that he, the Avil, is not to prepare his meal, but rather we prepare the first meal after the Kvura, and we feed it to him, that Halacha, that Din, applies even Beregel. So now Rabbos say the plot grows thicker. Because we have A, Dvarim Shebitzina that are Noeg Beregel. Number two, B, we have Sudas Havra, that we are obligated to feed the Avil his first meal after Kfura, even on the Regel. Again, we're seeing more and more of a vestige of Avelus, even during the Moed. And that, again, as we said over and over again, is very problematic. Because there's no Avelus Beregel, it's a mitzvah of Simcha, and not a mitzvah of Avelus. And then if you take a look at Yomar Makomos, page number 6, we'll take a look at the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph Milchus Ovel, and the Rambam says something very surprising to us, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam says, he talks about Mavrim Es Avelim B'moed, and the Rambam says, U'menachamim, and we also are menachem the Ovel on the Regel. Interesting. There's Nichum Avelim on the Regel. That's what the Rambam says here in Perek Yud Aleph Milchus Ovel Halacha Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Siman Shin Tzadi Tes, which is the laws of Avelus. And he writes the following. This is a gigantic Sif Aleph in Shin Tzadi Tes, in which the Shulchan Aruch addresses the difference between Kover Meso Kodim LeRegel and he was Noeg Avelus even for an hour before the Regel, and there he says that Regel is Mafsikas Avelus Umavato Mimen Gzeres Shiva, and then he has the other case where he was not Noeg his Avelus before Shiva, and there in such a case the Avelus is not Botel, and he'll have to be Noeg Avelus after Yontif, but during Yontif, he's Noeg Dvarim Shebitzina. And in the context of Noeg Beregel Dvarim Shebitzina, Umone Shiva Liachar Regel, he has various kulos during the Shiva, because again, he has already a Miktsas Avelus during Regel. And then he says, within the context of the Miktsas Avelus during the Regel, we said Dvarim Shebitzina and Sudas Avra, he adds to boot that Kol Yemei HaRegel Rabim Misaskim Bo Lenachamo. Rabim means the public should come to be Menachem him during the Regel. This is not our minhag, but the minhag of Sfaradim is to have Nichum Avelim during Regel. So if you ever get a quiz question, if you were taking the exam for the Rabbanut in Hilchos Avelus, and they'll ask you, where is it that we find Nichum Avelim during the Regel? It's this Shin Tzadi Tes, which is the Minhag of Sfaradim, Ad Hayom Hazeh, to be Menachem Avelim during the Regel. And you'll see it. You'll walk down the streets of Katamon or Baka, and you'll pass by a base Avel during Regel. It's like, for us, it's like the oddest thing. And you'll see people gathering together to be Menachem the Avel. On Chol HaMoed. Well, that's what I meant by Regel. I mean Chol HaMoed.
And then what, they have done 7 days afterwards as well?
And then they'll have Shiva after Yontif, 7 days. Because the Mechaber writes, he's Noeg Beregel Dvarim Shebitzina, but Mona Shiva Liachar Regel. And then he goes on to discuss what are the kulos in the Shiva Liachar Regel. They give him a kula that others can do Malach on his behalf. Okay, that itself needs to be taken under advisement. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that we see now three different dinim that are brought down in the poskim that are noeg during the regal and mincha l'moed, despite the fact that ain't avelus for regal. The first din we saw is that this dvarim shebitzino. The second din we saw is that the sudas avro. Now we have a third din that, according to the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rambam, there's nicham avelim during the moed. How do we reconcile that with that, with the fact that the mitzvah is a mitzvah of simcha, the samachta v'chagecha, and therefore the Gemara postulates that there's no avelus for regal, meaning that avelus is suspended in this case of kovrat es meis of regal till after the regal. So if you're suspending the avelus because of the mitzvah of simcha, why do we find all these vestiges of avelus? Are there any other marimakomos that I asked you to look at on this page? That's it for now. We're up to number 7. Do you have number 7? Okay, we're not going to talk about number 7 for another few minutes. Let's put that on the side. L'fi ani yisdaiti, when we study the Yud Aleph Isurei Avel, and we may even add a 12th, as we discussed, the Isur of Hanochas Tefillin, we have to ask ourselves the following question. And we've already answered this question, but I want to revisit our answer and analyze it again, because I think it's way too simplistic. What is the kiyum of the Yud Aleph Isurei Avel? And one way to go is to say that the kiyum is the mitzvah of avelus. I'll explain what I mean. The Torah commands a person to bury his dead and respond. It's not just a callous burial and that's it. We go on in life. No. That is called achzorius. That's called cruelty. The Torah recognizes avelus as something that a person has to experience, and he has to experience it publicly and be noeg avelus in order to be mechabed the mess. That's what it means, covered a mess. Avelus really means, on a philosophical level perhaps, the fact that every individual is placed here in this world with a mission, with a contribution, and now that mission has come to a cessation, and the person is dead, and he cannot be replaced. There are other human beings, but each one has a different shlichus. Lo roi zeh ki roi zeh. And that person is irreplaceable. And Avraham Avinu buries his dead, he buries his wife Sarah, and then he comes, lispo l'sol l'vkosa. It means that Sarah Imenu is gone. And if Sarah is gone, that's a void, a vacuum that can never be filled. That's what avelus is about. And that engenders a kiyum avelus. Avelus, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, is belev. It's an emotional experience. It's an inner experience. But now ask yourself the following question. When the Torah commands you to experience something emotional, how does one achieve that state of being? I'll give you an example. V'samachta b'chagecha. The Torah says that I have to be in an emotional state of simcha. How do I achieve simcha? Is it just a hefker? Is it just, you know, do whatever you want, you know, stand on your head and do somersaults in the sky and sing and dance and play music? There is a halacha. The halacha tells you exactly how it prescribes a very specific way of achieving this emotional state of being. So basically, we could divide up the Torah into two parts. Parts of the Torah are merely, shall we say, external. There's a Maisa Mitzvah, there's a Maisa Avera, and those are technical and mechanical. But there's another part of the Torah. And that part of the Torah recognizes and emphasizes and obligates us to experience something. There is an experiential element. For example, if a person would recite vidui and he feels nothing inside of him, he just recites it out of rote, as a mechanical robotic act, would you say he's achieved any mitzvah? I would submit to you that it's worthless. If a person gets up to daven and he has no emotional awareness of what tefillah is all about, he's not omed lifnei hashchina, he's just reading the words v'gamarnu, I would say that's meaningless. That's a robotic act. Because the kiyum of tshuva is an emotional state of being. Tshuva requires charata, kabbalah al yasid. A person has to feel remorse and regret. Simcha requires a state of joy. And tefillah requires an emotional experience in which man engages in a dialogue with Ribono Shel Olam. These are select and very exclusive mitzvahs. They belong to a very exclusive club. And the members of that club are members of what I call a mitzvah shevalev club. A person on the night of the Seder reads through the Haggadah as a mechanical act. He doesn't understand a kenish ein vault. It's meaningless. Chayav Adam Liros es Atzmo kilu hu Atzmo yotza b'mitzrayim. The reading of the Haggadah is only meant as an external action which is to bring a person to a state of being, into an emotional state. And likewise, in the case of Avelus, the question is, how do I experience Avelus? For example, a person is upset, he's depressed, Rachmana Litzlan, because he buried his close relative. Is that what the Torah wants? I don't know. The Gemara equates Tirda, in the case of an Avel, with Tavas Minos of Vayam. Tirda apparently is not a kiyum mitzvah, because if Tirda were a kiyum mitzvah, the Avel should be potter from Kol Mitzvah Satorah. But no, the Gemara says that an Avel who's Tarud, that Tirda does not get any recognition in Halacha, it doesn't have any status, it's not a kiyum mitzvah, it's like Tavas Minos of Vayam. And he's chayiv in all the Mitzvah Satorah. So the question is, what is this entity called Avelus? And to what extent is it exclusive of Simcha? Why is it that the Gemara postulates that despite the fact that an Avel is allowed to drink wine and he's allowed to eat meat, nevertheless, these Nihugi Avelus and the Kiyum Avelus are completely undermined by what? By Visamachta Bechagech. Apparently, the Gemara holds that whatever Avelus is, whatever I can do to carve out a definition of the Kiyum Avelus, it is exclusive. It's absolutely antithetical to the Kiyum Simcha. True, the external actions that bring me to a state of Simcha, maybe I can reconcile that with Avelus. But the Kiyum of Simcha, the actual achievement of the joy of Yontif, that doesn't tolerate Avelus as a kiyum mitzvah of Avelus. And the halacha defines 11 different isurim. But those 11 different isurim are nothing more than a means to an end, a method which is carved out by the halacha, the goal of which is to bring you to aninus, to Avelus shebelev. Why is Avelus Shebelev exclusive and antithetical to Simcha Shebelev? And I think the answer lies in two words. Lifnei Hashem. The Torah, every time it commands us in Simcha, it says, V'samachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Simcha is a stature of a person feeling an intimate closeness to Hashem. He's standing Lifnei Hashem. Perhaps the greatest experience of Lifnei Hashem is Talmud Torah. When we study Torah, we're now coming from Shavuos, and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to be Lifnei Hashem. Rav Chaim Volozhin, in many places, writes about the fact that when a person studies Torah, he feels, and he should feel, the simcha of standing Lifnei Hashem. It's a great simcha. And that's what Yontif is all about. Yontif is a day in which we're commanded in Aliyah L'Regel to go into the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Beis Hashem. V'samachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Avelus is just the opposite. In Avelus, the Midas HaDin has been brought upon this family, Rachmana Litzlan, and therefore a person has to feel anything but lifnei Hashem. He feels a richuk. He feels a certain distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly what an avil should be experiencing. That feeling of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not exempt him, does not alleviate him from mitzvahs. Avil chayav b'chol mitzvahs haTorah. But it's completely antithetical to simcha, because simcha means I feel that I'm lifnei Hashem. An avil has to feel that he's not anything but lifnei Hashem. And therefore you cannot be both an avil and fulfill the mitzvah of simcha at the same time. Maybe in terms of the technical externalities, you know, external actions, you can reconcile avelus with simcha. As we said in the case of menudah, the menudah is not enjoined from eating meat and drinking wine, and therefore he can be knowing his niduyah beregel, because there's no kiyum belev, there's no emotional experience that the menudah is obligated in. But the avel is obligated through the various ways that the halacha prescribes to come to a state of avelus shebelev. There is a sense of richuk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the avel is going to spend 7 days, maybe 30 days, maybe even an entire year to overcome that richuk until he finally is reinstated into the state of Amida Lifnei Hashem. George?
What's the difference between that and alienation from Hashem?
He's alienated from Hashem. And that state of alienation from Hashem cannot be reconciled with Simchas Yomtev. And therefore, what is the Avel Chayev? Is he Chayev in Simchas Yomtev, or is he Chayev to be alienated? What is the Torah requiring of him? What emotional state or experience is he required to do? And you and I would say, well, let's face the music here. He feels alienated. That's a given. And therefore, he cannot possibly fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha. Wouldn't that be the natural response? After all, isn't halacha just a bowl of cherries? Isn't it just fun to observe the Torah? I mean, that's what I taught my NCSY kids when I was, I was teaching the NCSYers, who came from a public school background. Torah is one large hoopla, it's all fun and games. Shabbos is wonderful, Yontif is wonderful, right? But Rabosai, in the context of our room, and it can't go beyond the four walls, that's not what it means to be a halachic Jew. The halacha is not just a bowl of cherries. 99% it is, but there's 1% it's where it's tough as nails. And sometimes the halacha is not this compassionate mother figure, but rather a disciplining father figure. And the halacha says that you have just buried your dead 5 minutes before the regel, and 5 minutes later you are standing lifnei Hashem in a state of simcha, and that's what you're obligated to feel. Can you do it? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how. I've seen it. I've seen people do it. I don't know how they do it. I remember when I lost my brother, we were at the Shabbos table, and there was a certain rabbi started singing Zmiris, and I just flipped out. I couldn't, I just buried my brother, and I couldn't take it. Was he right and I was wrong? I guess you'd have to say yes, but I wasn't on that level. And there are stories about Gedolei Yisrael who enter into Yontif. They will dance on Simchas Torah for 24 hours nonstop, and then, boom, nightfall, and they break apart. I don't know. What can I tell you? But in that sense, the halacha is tough as nails. It's very demanding. It's like the Gemara in Midah about a man who marries a woman and he waits for months and months until he could consummate the marriage. And she sees tifas dam kechardel. And the Gemara says he was poreish like he saw a wild beast attack him. How could it be? He's bechadre chadorim. He wants to consummate his marriage, but she saw tipas dam kechardel. That's why I say, again, it's very good when we're involved in Kiruv, to show that Judaism is a lot of fun. And it is a lot of fun. But there are also points in which the halacha says, Ad Khan, that we have to be superhuman beings. And we have to overcome our natural emotional tendency. And here's a case that we're learning right now. The Gemara says that there's a stira between Avelus and Simchas Yontif. These are two mutually exclusive states of inner being. And you have to choose one or the other. And you and I would have said, well, let's choose Avelus because it's so natural. And suspend Simcha. Nein. Simcha is Docha Avelus. As tough as that is. So Abosai, just to summarize, if that be the case, if Simcha is Docha Avelus, why do we find a vestige of Avelus? Not once, not twice, but thrice with regard to the regal. Why is there Avelus in the regal? For Dvarim Shebitzina, we spoke about the fact that they, what? The Sudas Havra, we spoke about Nichum Avelus. What's it all about? So Chabosa, I'd like to suggest the following. There's no Avelus Beregel, but there is an Avel. Let me try to explain what I mean. There are certain dinim in Avelus that have nothing whatsoever to do with the Kiyum Shebalev, with this emotional experience, as you call it, alienation, or Richuk, as we called it. Simply, you are an Avel. Period. Geendet. Meaning, an Avel is a status. It's a halachic status. What shall I say? Again, don't equate it. It's like a Tomei. A person's Tomei. His Tuma is a result of he contracted Tuma because he came in contact with the dead. Does it mean he has to be in a state of Avelus? Does he have to feel an emotional experience of Richuk for Hashem? No! There's no Kiyum Shebalev in Tuma. The Gavra is Tuma. What is Avelus? And I submit to you that Avelus is a hybrid made up of two distinct parts. It's a duality, a dualism. There's one aspect of Avelus that exhausts itself in Kiyum Shebalev, in the emotional experience of an Avel. But there's a whole nother dimension to Avelus. The Gavra, the person, is an Avel. And there are dinim that apply to him insofar as he's an Avel, regardless of and independent of his Kiyum Shebalev. And here's where the Regel comes to play. Although, with regard to Regel, the mitzvah, the overriding mitzvah is Simcha, and that undermines the Avelus Shebalev, but nevertheless, the Gavra is an Avel. We relate to him as an Avel because he is an Avel. And that has to do simply with the fact that he buried his dead on the regal. He becomes an Avel. And here the Shulchan Aruch makes the following distinction. With regard to 10 out of the 11 Isurim, what we call Dvar Mishib and Farhesia, the goal of those 10 are to bring the Avel into a state, an emotional inner state of Avelus. Those are excluded during the Regel. Because during the Regel, his mitzvah is v'samachta v'chagecha, is simcha shebalev. However, there's one Iser on the list which doesn't reflect the Kiyum Shebalev, the emotional state of Avelus, but is an Iser Avel per se, simply because he is an Avel. And that's what's called Dvarim Shebitzinah. Dvarim Shebitzinah means that he is enjoined from having relations with his wife simply because he's an Avel. And here Tosfos comes up with an unbelievable chiddush. Says Tosfos, we have to feed him a meal on the regel. Why? Because he's an Avel. Does that meal, which is called the Sudas Havra, reflect the Kiyum Shebalev? Chas v'shalom, it couldn't be. Because his Kiyum Shebalev is v'samachta v'chagecha, which doesn't tolerate, there's no room here for a Kiyum Shebalev of Avelus. It's simply our relationship to him as an Avel. He's a Gavra of an Avel, even though he has no Avelus Shebalev. His absence, his rejection of Avelus Shebalev is enough to alleviate all the other Isurei Avel, the goal of which is to bring him into Avelus Shebalev because he's Chayv in Simcha, but he still remains an Avel. And the Nafkemin is going to be Nichum Avel. Now listen carefully. Nichum Avel is a twofold mitzvah. If I were to ask you, what's the goal? What's the Kiyum of Nichum Avel? What would you say? To comfort the morning, correct? Isn't that what we call it? To comfort the morning. Nechama. I have a chiddush for you. The Rambam wants to know what comes first. Bikur cholim or nichum avelim? The Rambam Perek Yudalei. You have two mitzvahs. You've got a chole and you've got an avel. Well, what would be your knee-jerk reaction if he's a real chole? I'm not talking about someone who's sniffling because he has allergies. I would think Bikur cholim should come first. Guess what? The Rambam writes venerally. Very rare that the Rambam says a chiddush and he admits that it's his own chiddush. Venerally shenichum avelim kodem lebikur chol. Why? Shekein yeshbo kavod achayim vekavod amesim. And the Rambam says an unbelievable chiddush. If a man dies and he leaves no relatives, let's say a ger, for example, dies, is the Rambam says we take 10 members of the community, we set them up in a base avil, and we come single file, the entire community, to menachem avilim. Doesn't make any sense. Take 10 people, what we call in Yiddish fremd dimension, if they're not related to the dead, they're not krovim. And we set them up, I call it an artificial base avil. And my nafkemina, nichem avilim, we walk by these 10 Jews, they're just members of the community, and we're menachem them. What does that mean to be menachem them? Menachem them from what? What are we consoling them? The answer is, because nichum avelim is not just to console the bereaved, but there's another dimension. Nichum avelim is kavod ames. The halacha doesn't tolerate burying the dead and going on, you know, chozrim liyom yom, kilu lo kara klum, as if nothing happened. That's intolerable in the eyes of the halacha. Nichum avelim itself is kavod ames. And I would submit to you, Rabbosai, don't quote me on this, that if you go to a base avel for nichum avelim and you cannot see the avelim for whatever reason, it happened to me just recently. I went to Gush Etzion, the president of the country was there, I couldn't get near the avelim. Sometimes you go to a base avil and they don't recognize you. You had no relationship to them. Imagine the following situation. One brother sitting shiva in Kalamazoo, another brother sitting shiva here in Yerushalayim, and guess what? You only know the brother in Kalamazoo. So does it make any sense to go visit him? Never after the tragedy in Har Nof, the entire community came to Menachem Avil. Nobody knew anybody. The answer is, because nichum avelim is kavod ames. And if you want to be mechabi the niftar, you go to a base avil. That itself is considered a mitzvah of kavod ames. The chiddush here of the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rambam, is that even when there's no kiyum shebelev, which means that there's no way, no how, that nichum avelim could be justified by consolation, because adarabba, the avil now is chayv in the midst of simchas yontif, no less than you and I. Be menachem him. But what does it mean to be menachem him? There's no kiyum shebelev. The answer is nichum avelim b'toris kavod ames. And what engenders the kavod ames? It's the fact that he is an avil. What do you mean he's an avil? You're telling me that you're suspending 10 out of 11 of these surei avil. He's only knowing dvarim shebitzino. You're telling me that he's obligated the mitzvah of simcha, and therefore that precludes the mitzvah of aninus of avil shebolev. And now you're telling me to go and be menachem him? He's an avil? The answer is yes, he's an avil. He has the stigma, if you pardon the expression, of an avil. He is an avil. And Rabbosai, if that be the case, I would question the conclusion of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that during Chol HaMoed, he should be wearing tefillin. Why is he wearing tefillin? Because there's no avelus during the Moed. I don't know if that's so. He should not be wearing tefillin. You know why not? Because he's an avel. And if he's an avel, he's chavush, he is me'ulo biafar. Whether he experiences his avelus as an emotional inner moment, or on the contrary, he's chayav in the midst of simcha, that's irrelevant. The iser of tefillin is not because of avelus shebelev. The very fact that he has this stigma, this chalav shem avel, that itself is mutually exclusive from tefillin. Tefillin cannot be worn pe'er on a gavra of an avel. And if that be the case, Rabosai, then perhaps we could go on to number 8 on your list. Because we said that the din of avelus d'oraisa only applies when? One day. The balance of the Shiva is all Durabban. Correct? That's not so. I'll prove it to you. The Rambam, in Hilchas Bias Migdash, says the following. An Avel is not allowed to send his karbonos with a shliach to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rambam says the following. Where is it here? I wrote it down. Is it Perek Beis or Perek Gimel? I forget. Perek Beis. The Rambam says, Ha'avel, Eino Mishalech Karbonosov Kol Shiva. Rabosai, we talk about a din d'oraisa here. This is not Xerah d'Rabbanan. The Rambam told us in Hilchas Avel Perek Hei that Avelus d'oraisa is only the first day. So why is it then that an Avel is Eino Mishalech Karbonosov Kol Shiva? For 7 days. The answer is, Nihu Gavelus, as a means to an end, to achieve the Kiyum Shebelev, is only knowing on the first day, as far as the Torah is concerned, Achriso Kiyom Mar Ein Merirus Elyom Echad Dulvar. That's the Merirus Shebelev. And therefore, the Torah says that to enjoy, to guarantee the Merirus Shebelev, there are Isurei Avel that are knowing only on the first day. But there's another dimension to Avelus, and that has nothing to do with Merirus Shebelev. That has to do with the Gavra Shem Avel. The Avel is considered an Avel for 7 days. The din of Eino Mishalech Karbonosov is not a reflection of the Avelus Shebelev, but rather a reflection of the fact that this individual is an Avel, and his status as an Avel, even on a Doraisa level, extends beyond the first day and incorporates all 7 days. And if that be the case, Rabosai, which I think is number 7, or is it number 8 on the Maror Makomos page? Number 7, we can talk about Tisha B'Av. Very interesting. The Rambam says that on Tisha B'Av we wear tefillin. Isn't that a familiar minhag for us? Don't we wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av? Okay, in the afternoon. Good, good. That's a good question. Why do we wait till the afternoon? But nevertheless, the day of Tisha B'Av, if you would compare Tisha B'Av, the Mishnah says at the end of Tainus that kol mitzvos hanogos be'avel nogos be'Tisha B'Av. No, if all the dinim of Avelus that apply to an Avel apply to Tisha B'Av, we're all Avelim on Tisha B'Av, what should be the din as far as Tefillin is concerned? Now, which day of the 7 days of Avelus is Tisha B'Av? By definition, it's got to be the first day. There is only one day of Tisha B'Av. Why is the Rambam paskin that you wear Tefillin on Tisha B'Av? The Ramban vacillates back and forth. The Ramban suggests that maybe, just like an Avil on the first day doesn't wear Tefillin, so too on Tisha B'Av, no one should be wearing Tefillin.
That's why it's in the afternoon, like,
it's a party.
Wear it in the morning. Good. So they follow the psak of the Rambam. But the Ramban says that I don't think you should be wearing Tefillin on Tisha B'Av because we're all Avilim. The answer is, the Rambam Shita makes a lot of sense. An Avel is an Avel because he himself is an Avel, meaning he is the exclusive Avel. He's the one who buried his dead. In Avel's Yeshana of Tisha B'Av, who's the Avel? There is no Avel. See, the Ramban holds that we're all Avelim, and therefore there should be no Tefillin. The Rambam holds that no. When the Brisa says that kol mitzvah shenogos be'avel, nogos be'Tisha B'Av, he's talking about all those isurim that bring a person into a state of the kiyum shebelev avelus. And those are noeg be'Tisha B'Av no less than the noeg in avelus. But when it comes to tefillin, tefillin has nothing to do with the avela of a lev. Tefillin is a separate isur that's engendered by the status of a person as an avel. The Rambam holds there is no such person on Tisha B'Av. No one has the status of an avel on Tisha B'Av.
But we're knowing avelos.
We're knowing avelos, meaning here's the fascinating conclusion. You know, until now we've been discussing the possibility of even though there is a suspension of nihugei of avelos, for example, on regel, nevertheless there's a gavra shem avel. Now we can flip it around the other way. From both sides, there's a possibility of having nihugei avelos without a gavra shem avel. And the entire purpose of nihugei avelos and all those isurim in such a context exhausts itself in the kiyum shel lev. But as far as the gavra shem avel is concerned, we don't have a gavra shem avel. And I found a fascinating halach in the Rambam with regard to a chasam. What happens if a person has to bury his dead right before his chuppah, Rachman al-Litzan? And by the way, it's a sugya in Ksuvas, and it's not rare. I hate to say it. It's more common than you and I want to think. I don't know if it's because of the emotional experience of a wedding. I don't know what happens. But so the Gemara says that during this period of time, right after the kvura, we push him right into the chuppah, and he's knowing shivas yivei amishta, but yet he's aser bidvarim shebitzino. So again, there's a whole complicated system here, but before the kvura, he's bal bilas mitzvah, whatever it is, but then after the kvura, he's not. He has to be poreish from his wife because he's knowing dvarim shebitzino. So I ask yourself the question, is he an avel, is he not an avel? And the Rambam paskins that he starts as avelus after Shiva. In other words, the status of a chasan during his Shiva Simei HaMishta with regard to avelus is identical to the status of an avel who buries his dead during the regel. He's knowing Dvarim Shebitzino means he's an avel, but yet all the Surei avel are completely suspended. When does he begin his avelus? I keep saying after Shiva, meaning after Yontif, he kicks off his avelus. What's going on over here? He was just knowing Dvarim Shebitzino. The answer is that to count Shiva, you need a kiyum avelus shebelev. If you're a gavra shem avel, that doesn't engender any kiyumim. The kiyumim are achieved through the 11 isurim, insofar as those 11 isurim bring him into a state of avelus shebelev. In the case of a regel, the isurim cannot bring him into a state of avelus shebelev because he's chayv in simcha. And therefore, he hasn't got a kiyum of avelus. What he does have is a shem avel. And as a result of a shem avel, he's enjoined from wearing tefillin the way we said it. And as a result of a shem avel, we have to bring him a suda, which is called the suda savra. We can be menachem him because his avelus represents kvodam mesim. All that is true. But to count it as Shiva, that we can't do. Because the prerequisite, the sine qua non of counting Shiva, is the kiyum shebelev. His kiyum shebelev during the regular simcha, it's not avelus. And the same identical situation applies to a chasan. Take a look, if you will, in the Rambam. In Hilchos Ovel, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Ches, we don't have time for that now. But the Rambam says that a chasan becomes an ovel as far as Dvarim Shebitzino during the Zayin Yemei Mishteh, even though he's chayv to be mesameach his wife, his ikar mitzvah during the 7 days of Simcha is Simcha, but yet he's knowing Dvarim Shebitzino. Why? And not only that, to make life more complicated, the Rambam says that even though he's knowing Dvarim Shebitzino, he cannot count those days of Shivas Yemei Mishteh as days of Shiva. And the answer is, I believe, because Dvarim Shebitzino is because he's an Ovel. He buried his father, Rachmanu Litzlan, right before his chuppah. And therefore he is an Ovel. And Dvarim Shebitzino are engendered by the status of a person as an Ovel. The Kiyum Simcha completely precludes all the other Nihugei Avelus that are meant to bring him into a state of Avelus because he's in a state of Simcha. That's his Ikar HaMitzvah during the Zayin Yemei HaMishteh. Therefore, even though he's an Ovel, but he doesn't have the Kiyum Avelus, and therefore he cannot count these days as days of Shiva, despite the fact that he's enjoined from Dvarim Shebitzino, he will begin his Shiva after the termination of the simcha of Zayin Yemei HaSimcha. And in that sense, Chasan is an exact mirror image of the law of Regel. In both cases, there's Dvarim Shebitzina, but there's no Kiyum Avel Shebelev, and therefore there's no Shiva.
Okay. For that. He's waiting 7 days to find out if his wife is a suitor or not. He doesn't take Chris Shema 12.
Well, no, the Gemara says that he's Boel Bilas Mitzvah, and then he's Porish. Okay? So I think we'll see that in the Rambam. Let me just. Got the wrong Rambam. Perk Yudalit, I believe.
Of
Hilchas Avil, yeah.
Michael.
No, I'm mistaken. Let me correct myself. It's Perik, I think it's Perik Tesvav. Let me just see. Perik Yudal. Perik Yudalid. Perik Yudalid Aloha Zayin Yiroa Li Shenechamas Avelim Kodemis Lebikur Cholim Shenicham Avelim Chesedim Achayim V'Chesedim Amesim. It's a double mitzvah of chesed, whereas Bikur Cholim is only a Makai. It's a very important Rama because it really sheds a light on what Nichol Avelim is all about. Nichol Avelim has a whole different dimension to it.
Okay.
And then there's the Rama about someone who dies and doesn't leave any relatives.
What is the word
Richuk? Richuk means alienation, like you say. Richuk means feeling that I can't come close to Hashem. I feel that Hashem is turning His back to me. You know, I feel a certain distance
and
from
it's
Hashem.
It's the very time when that's, in another sense, the closest connection that you can have. I mean, that's what kind
of... Well, it's like when the father gives you a patch, you feel a certain distance from your father. And that's what Avelus is. Hashem, so to speak, gave me a little bit of a patch, or maybe a big patch, and I'm impacted by that.
How does it integrate with acceptance and
Yes, his mitzvah is tzedakah din, and I would say that's why he's chayv in all mitzvahs. Can you get out of here, or should
I
move this?
No, I'll get out.
All his mitzvahs are, in a sense, a tzedakah din. That's very interesting that when we ask for a shliach tzivur, the first person we turn to is an Avel. And the reason for that is because even though he experiences this richuk, he still has to be matzlik as adin. Matzlik as adin means he has to declare the Lord is righteous. Even in the most difficult times, and again, that's why I told you that Judaism is not just a bowl of cherries. Even in the most difficult, trying times, a person has to accept the judgment of God. And that's why he's got to be the first one to represent the Tzibur, Yiskadal V'Yiskadal Shmei Rabba. His Kaddish is a declaration that I accept the divine punishment, even though I can't fathom it, it's beyond human comprehension, but we don't understand the divine being. And the Avil, more than anyone else, is Chayv in Tzidu Kaddin, because of his, you know, terrible, tragic grief and mourning as a result of the loss of a close relative. Therefore, the paradox is, on the one hand, he has to feel the Midas HaDin, the judgment of God. He has to feel that, you know, he's got to now move he has to work very hard and toil to get back to his original status and re-enter that close relationship of a human being to Hashem. But at the other hand, at the same time, he's got to be the first online to volunteer, so to speak, for declaring God's greatness and His glory. Because that's his mitzvah, Tzidu Kaddin. So that's interesting, because Hal is already a Kiyum Simcha, so maybe, you know, that far we don't want to push him. But technically, if there's no one else to say Hal, you know, he'll be the Shliach Tzibur for Hal. Thank you. Oh, really? Weinberger from Far Rockaway?
Well...